This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
If you want to live a more fulfilling and loving life, you have to dig deep into your pain and own it in your body. We are human beings. We come with negative and positive emotions. Allow yourself to be human. Being human is being love. Valeria interviews Kerr Yang. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist and specializes in emotionally focused therapy for couples and individuals, founded by Susan M. Johnson. Kerr Yang started her journey in search of love when she entered her graduate studies in 2014 as a result of an unhealthy relationship. Clinical experience, education, and being a client herself were the perfect combination in aligning Kerr Yang to understand what love means, which has been a healing and spiritual journey. She has learned that love is about doing what your heart desires with a supportive team. This requires being accepting of all your emotions, including your pain. Although the journey is challenging, she believes that everyone has the strength and courage to survive it and come out on the other side. Therapy with Kerr Yang is simply just being human. Being human is being love. Kerr Yang is dedicated to helping others be on a similar healing journey and heal one heart at a time. Meet Kerr at kerryanglmft.com. Here's the interview with Kerr Yang.
In your own words, who is Kerr Yang?
Kerr Yang is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I practice in Los Angeles, California, although I can work with anybody in the state of California. In conjunction with the work that I've done, I've also done my own personal healing and worked through my own problems, and that has been a very spiritual process. So that's also incorporated in the work that I do as well.
That's wonderful that you mentioned right there and there. So yes. That opens up that question, you know, the space for that question about spirituality. But before that, what inspired you to become a therapist, Kerr?
It was a personal experience. At the time, I was in an unhealthy relationship. Yeah. And I didn't know, or I didn't have a way out. So psychology was what I majored in my bachelor's degree. Yeah. And so I decided to pursue. There's a part of me that was hoping that I could fix my own relationship. Right. But I found out that the relationship wasn't for me. And it led to different avenues. And that relationship did not last. But that's how I got into this field.
How interesting. I did read this on your website and in your bio, yeah, too. How do you define spirituality these days?
I think spirituality, I mean, everybody has a different definition. Maybe a generalized definition is like something much bigger than us. It's like the creator, the universe, or God. But for me, how I found it is really just listening to myself.
Yeah.
And asking myself, what do I want? Mm-hmm. And really following that. And when I did that, I landed in a place of I want to say just, it's so simple, but it's so profound at the same time. I landed in a place of what felt like just unconditional love. And so that spirituality for me, it's really following your heart.
Yes. Wow, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? To just do that. But it's not for some, for some people, for some of us, let's say it's not. It has not been always easy for me to follow my heart. What does it take and what gets in the way when it comes to doing exactly that?
You know, I think like when we are immersed in a society that has certain roles and, you know, they get projected onto us, it can get confusing. And what is society's expectations versus what is your own wants and expectations of yourself?
Right. Yeah. That is so true. That is very much true. And of course, in combination, it's almost like as a part of that, let's say, being an obstacle, I would say that there is also the, in addition to that, trauma and belief systems, right, that we hold.
Oh, yes.
That has been my case for so long, believing certain things and really being stuck with those belief systems.
Right.
Because of the traumas. So, but also there are the, as you said, the imprints that's left, you know, here in our minds from society and people around us, right? The closest people to us, our family.
Oh, yes.
And that's not, you see, that sounds, it sounds simple. It sounds very simple in the sense of going inside, just that everything is here within ourselves. So it sounds like, gosh, anyone can do that. But then it's not, for me, it hasn't been as simple because of this predisposition to connect with others and not to disappoint them and, you know, you feel loved and beloved and kind of cultivate harmony within the environment.
Right.
So I would love to hear from you. What is your take and how do you navigate that reality when it comes to, you know, that dance between being yourself and connecting with others deeply and truthfully?
That's a great question. I think that there are going to be people in your life who are just not going to understand your perspective. And that's okay because they have their own perspective. And I would say you have to be aware of that. And limit yourself if you want to continue to grow in the direction that is right for you. And really be around like-minded people who's going to support you on your journey.
Right.
Yeah. So it gets a little bit, it's hard because the people that you grew up with, there's that need to not disappoint them, make them proud. But at the same time, they could also be the reason why they hold you back. So, you know, you kind of have to find a balance with that and then really put yourself in a place where there's a group of a support system where they can really help take you to, you know, that path that is right for you.
Right. Yes. And that's why therapy is so helpful. Having somebody to guide you, you know, throughout this process, because as you described, it sounds very much like it takes courage, wisdom, compassion, right? Self-compassion for others, understanding. It has been a very interesting dance for me. And the more I evolve in a sense of going deeper into the spiritual knowledge that I find myself studying, which is Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta. It's a Hindu philosophy of non-duality. So that it becomes easier to navigate this relationship reality. And at the same time, it doesn't. Because it's almost like it exposes everything. Now I'm allowing myself to feel everything. So it's It's just fascinating to just let feelings and emotions be here, you know, to burn and just do what they do. It's another kind. I'm always reflecting, contemplating on these things, meditating on them. And it feels like, it's like tasting different kinds of foods, you know. There's some foods that taste really great, and some of them not so great, and some of them not good at all. But it's still a taste and still a sensation. So why not be open to all of it?
Yeah.
Right? And that's what's beautiful about your message, which is the topic of this conversation. The answer is found in your pain. And I love the way you talk about being human. You say, in your bio, it says, therapy with Kerr, it's simply just being human. Being human is being love. So that's just profound. Talk to me for a moment about that. Please.
I love that statement. Part of being human, you know, we come with so many different types of emotions, but if I could just break it down and make it like try to simplify it, you know, we come with a lot of negative emotions and we come with positive emotions. And, you know, just to give you an idea of the emotions that I'm speaking to, there are 6 basic emotions, and this number can change depending on which source you're citing. But there's surprise, happiness, sadness, fear, anger, disgust. And, you know, human beings, we're very comfortable, we're much more comfortable feeling the positive emotions like happiness and surprise. But it's a lot more uncomfortable, maybe I would even say painful, to feel the negative emotions like sadness, fear, anger, and disgust. And being human means holding space for all of these emotions. And when you can do that, that is love.
Wow. What a beautiful definition for love that is. It's open, expansive. It's spiritual, though. That's how I have come to understand the more, you know, the deeper I go within the realm of spirituality and spiritual understanding and realizations. I see that's what love is. And I use the word freedom instead of being human, but it's the same thing, isn't it? Embracing everything.
Yes.
Not pushing anything away. And it is uncomfortable. It's true, Kerr. It's very uncomfortable. And you know, you probably have heard before a saying that says being uncomfortable with the uncomfortable, that's necessary for growth.
Yes.
Very much. And with that comes that, you know, wisdom, intuition comes into play because to what extent, you know, we want it to be uncomfortable. So when we think about the purpose of life or, you know, why, what's the whole point of being here? There's something about peace that comes to me, you know, this sense of peace, which goes back to the idea of love that we've been speaking about, freedom, letting everything be. But at the same time, there's I think within that there is this feeling, or maybe this state of joy arises. It's something that's very light and playful at the same time. So I guess the question is, how uncomfortable are we willing to be, you know, in order to experience that freedom? Do we have a choice? Do you feel that we have a choice? Or this is something that's just is a play of life? We have no say.
So how uncomfortable?
Yeah.
You know, I think in general, life comes with the purpose, I wouldn't say is to suffer, but it's suffering and pain is inevitable. It's just part of the human nature. I would include in there that it depends on the severity of your trauma. Some people have way more trauma than others. There's only so much that you can actually take. And we call it like there's a window of tolerance. So we want to stay within that window. Because if you experience, if we go outside of that window, it just becomes too overwhelming. And I would say that that's the point of getting to like panic mode or panic attacks. So we don't want to get to that point, but That's why you have to be able to know your client and gauge. If you see them hyperventilating, that might be a good place to stop. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we slowly get them to that point and we go at their pace.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense to me, right? It depends mm-hmm. how much pain we can tolerate, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to being comfortable with the uncomfortable, as we talked before. That sounds like the work of self-knowledge, healing, of course, doing mm-hmm. therapy. And something else that it keeps coming back to me also as a message, I guess, is self-trust. Being able to trust myself to go through whatever it is that comes my way. So that's sure. one of my trainings, per se. That's how I train the mind. Always be ready for.
Okay.
Of course, it's just, is in theory, it's easy, right? To just imagine horrible situations and then imagining ourselves being brave and strong. But we never know how we will face that situation. But I do believe in preparation, though. Do you think the same way? Do you kind of guide your clients to prepare themselves? Not for the worst, but for difficult, challenging situations, per se.
Yeah, I do preface it. I think some, not all clients, but I have come across clients where I don't think they understand fully what therapy consists of. Yeah. And I think that they think starting therapy should alleviate your distress or your pain right away. Right. And that's not the case, because we have to work through those challenges. Right. And when we do that, you know, the negative emotions will come up. Mm-hmm. So I do let them know, you know, that this process, especially in the beginning, it can be quite emotionally painful. So, you know, that's something to take into consideration.
Yes, yes. So that kind of mental preparation really helps. Yeah, I would think.
Yeah. Otherwise, they would be disappointed because it's not what they're looking for.
Yes, right. Because mm-hmm. that's funny. To notice that the healing process is not always, doesn't feel always good, right? And healing, like it can be actually quite the opposite.
Yeah. So, but how I would put it is, the healing process is painful, but it's also relieving at the same time.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. So true. And there's something else about. Do you agree with the this? It's a statement, really. I don't think it's a quote. That all healing is self-healing. Have you heard that before?
All healing is self-healing.
Yeah.
Can you say more about that?
Right. From my understanding, it's as if we are the only ones that can help ourselves. We can have guides, people like therapists, like yourself, and life coaches. But the process is ours. We need to own that. We need to really be open to it and willing.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. So if that's what the saying means, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, that's how I kind of interpret it. It might have a different meanings for different people. But
yes,
it's like the body itself too, like her. It's always healing itself. It's always, mm-hmm. Every time we are ill or there's an injury, you see that how quick the body just does what it does to go back to the state of harmony, you know, the state of health.
Yeah.
And I think it happens with the mind as well. It's there's something about life itself. We see that in nature. It's always it's always returning to harmony, doing, mm-hmm. you know, what it has to do, even with storms and all that. It's searching or going back to harmony. It's never mm-hmm. in chaos or, you know, in the state of in that state of destruction for too long. It's mm-hmm. always, I think I really relate that to humans, you know, somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see the logic there somehow, the connection between nature, as in trees and animals, and ourselves, humans?
Yeah. If I'm understanding the question, and when you say going back to like harmony, it's, you know, when we're in a place of like self-destructor or in just complete chaos, like that's not sustainable. So it's like, in a way, it's like the storm cannot last forever. Right. It has to slow down and it will stop at some point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And I think that really happens with us too. It's something that really, I mean, has been my own experience as a woman. But of course, for some of us, as you mentioned earlier, because of trauma, that storm can last perhaps a lifetime, right, for some of us.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Which is really sad, though. And I think that would be the case of, with serious mental disorders. When I see that, because my understanding, the spiritual understanding, is that in the natural world, from the looking at that, the natural world, how it works, is that everything tends to return to harmony or that state of perfection and calm. But for humans, that doesn't seem to happen with for all of us, and that's it's a mystery in a way, because while it seems like we are here from my spiritual point of view, it seems like we are here to grow, to evolve, to cultivate this new understanding, perception of ourselves and the world. But then for some of us, it's just when we have some of us who have mental, serious mental disorders, it seems like that they are in a state of stagnation. I don't know. Yeah, how do you see it?
Exactly. Like going back to, you know, depending on that person's level of trauma, there are just some individuals with such complex and severe trauma that it is just, it's a lot to deal with and it's a lot to handle. And untreated, it's just that they're not going to be able to make the changes and grow from that. And it is unfortunate that, you know, their trauma is just, you know, almost in a way, it's just their way of living. It's part of life. Mm-hmm. And so it really doesn't, you know, they're not able to grow out of that or come out of that.
Yes. That might be, I love the way you said that. That might be another expression of life itself. So who are we to judge, right?
Yeah.
What's in harmony and what's not.
How do right. And exactly. And the other thing I think it's important to note here is, you know, everyone has such a different path. You know, right. You just can't really predict. Like, you think that, okay, well, I've seen this before and this is probably similar. And then it's like, oh, wait, it's also very different too. Yes. So we just never know.
Yes. That's why it's wonderful to be in that state of curiosity, openness, and and humility in a way, right? In face of all this incredible array of expression of the way life, it just presents itself. It's to me, it's just incredible even to talk about it. We are having a conversation about something that's almost, you know, I mean, there's nothing to me, there's nothing more meaningful than this, having these conversations, meaningful, deep interactions with other human beings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for me, has been the door to deeper understandings too. So going back to something else, so you mentioned the way you started your path to doing what you do today, and there was being in an unhealthy relationship. So I guess the question that I think will be very helpful for me and the audience is, what is your reference or your understanding of healthy relationship? What would be a healthy relationship?
Yes. So there needs to be boundaries, and you also have to know what your needs are. You know, your boundaries are there to literally protect you from getting hurt. If someone says something, you know, hurtful, that has to be communicated that that's not okay. So in a relationship, you have to be able to talk about those things. Otherwise, you know, it festers and it becomes unhealthy, and it little by little, it grows and it becomes a big problem. And it really separates you from your partner or your relationships in general. Yes. The other thing here is your needs. You have to know what you need. And so, you know, it's really filling up your own cup. It's like, for example, if you need your partner to spend more time with you, that has to be fulfilled. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be sad or just living in resentment. Yeah. So those are the two things that you have to pay attention to.
Mm, yeah, boundaries and your own needs.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I want to add this part here too. The needs, your needs is your way of honoring yourself.
Mm, yes, that's true. That's being true to you, right? To ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, following the heart, as we mentioned earlier. Yes. And, you know, for me, it has been, not easy though, these boundaries, you know.
Oh, yes.
Being able to say no. And not able, you know, I got much better at it, but I still feel guilty afterwards. So that's in a way, it's a contradiction, because if I say no, that should be no.
Yes.
And no other feelings should arise, but it still does.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that is so important to note, because, you know, a lot of people talk about boundaries, but what they're not saying, or maybe they don't understand, or, you know, maybe they haven't experienced this, but setting boundaries and upholding them is so hard, because you do feel guilty, and there's a lot of judgment that comes up with that too.
Right, right. So that's another preparation to have, right?
Yes.
prepare the mind for the guilt.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, I talked to somebody here about this. And I think, I remember well what she said. She said something like, oh, yes, of course, it's natural to feel guilty because you're not a psychopath.
Yeah.
And that kind of stopped me for a moment. Wait a minute, that's true. I don't want to be a psychopath.
Yeah.
If you have no feelings, then that would be the case.
Yeah. And the other part here is you care about this person's feelings a lot. So, you know, it's hard. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And I also remember interviewing someone, Bob Rich, his name is from Australia. Mm-hmm. And he talked exactly about that. He said, I wish I cared less, because mm-hmm. he's very much involved with politics, you know, in the affairs of the world, and how bad it is right now with the wars, people killing each other, and that actually was making I from my perspective is making him sick. He's having a lot of heart issues, so I think he's getting too involved with everything else that's happening, that his body is just not well. But anyway, that's my perceptional perspective on that. But he said that I wish I could care less. Mm. And I remember telling him that you know, I don't feel the same way. I actually mm-hmm. love caring. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's tough when we care, especially a bit too much. Mm-hmm. I guess that was my case for so long, caring so much that I forgot myself completely. And then I got myself in trouble so many times too.
Yeah.
So let's see. I asked that question about relationships. There's something we talked about, love. I'm going through my notes here. And then, oh yes, you sent me these. It was related to the topic. The answers is found in your pain. So this is, and you said excitement. Mm-hmm. And then a topic on emotional wellness. And then the book, as a reference, the book is Love Sense, which I have heard before. I think I never read this book, but I heard somebody else talk to me about it. The Revolutionary New Science of Romantic Relationships by Dr. Sue Johnson. Uh-huh. So, talk to me for a moment about her. I don't know much about her work, but I have read, I have seen that she works with Christians too. There's something about spirituality coming from that interview.
Yeah, I have not read her spiritual aspect of her work yet, but the work that she does is, maybe if I could just put it simply, it's like the science on love. Mm-hmm. And her work is incredible. It is based around couples work and relationships. And it really is just in such a loving way. And the work that she does, it's so effective. And it plays a big part in the work that I do. And it's really just asking for your needs to be met in such a soft and vulnerable place that's just loving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it has really helped the work that I've done with individuals and couples.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I have some notes here, the way she writes. I'm not sure if that you wrote this or she did, but it says here, when you make space for your emotions, it is you're having compassion and care for yourself.
Yeah. So that's I wrote that, but she has very similar ways of saying that. I think specifically one of the things that she said is love is a state of encompassing all of those emotions. So, mm-hmm. you know, those six basic emotions that I had mentioned earlier.
Yes. Yeah. I see here. Yes. You see, I love that understanding because it really relates to, again, the spiritual knowledge that I have in realization that that's what freedom is. It's because that has been always my, let's say, quest. I know the podcast's title, A Quest for Well-Being, which mm-hmm. was really looking for that well-being, being well. Mm-hmm. And now has evolved to this concept of freedom. Like, what is to be free? And then I have another platform, which is the video interviews. It's the freedom to feel. Mm-hmm. So I guess after doing this work on myself, my own healing work and spiritual work, and then having these conversations all the time, it kind of, if I could, from everything that I have heard, have read, all my experiences, it would would be the, let's say if somebody asks me, what is the purpose of life? It's to be free. But not in a place, you know, a destination to get to, but mm-hmm. finding the freedom that's already here, that you have been already free. Mm-hmm. So I guess that has been my, I'm deepening my own experiences and knowledge, and I'm just kind of marinating myself in it, in this concept of these days. You know, I'm already free. I'm already what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. This is it. And that kind of relates very much to this message that you bring today. It's exactly that, being open. Like you say, you're making space, but it is being open. Right, I can use make space. Of course, when you're open and you have the feeling of freedom, that's exactly what happens. It's just feel so much more spacious and expansive, mm-hmm. That you can let everything just be, and we don't try to fight anything. You see, but one of the things that still, I guess, the mind gets caught is with the negative feelings, you know, the feelings of sadness, of mm-hmm. resentment, anger sometimes. I don't know if I can call anger. I don't know how angry I can get these days. But I think it's, there's something, it's kind of intense, you know, that feeling of pushing away something. I guess when I see injustice, you know, somebody, I don't watch TV that much, but I came across about 2 months ago, although longer than that, on YouTube, my husband and I were watching something. Then, we just came across a woman abusing an animal, a dog. Mm. And I have a dog. And I was abused as a child. So that was, I think something gets triggered, Riker. And we can't help it, but just have this heavy, it's a heavy feeling of pushing away, that that action, that behavior. And mm-hmm. in a judgmental way, even. Mm-hmm. So, would you, I'm wondering if that's, besides accepting, being open to all of it, do you find that to be natural for human beings to behave in such a way, unloving, unkind way, violent way?
Regarding the video and the woman abusing the dog?
In general, actually. Putting that, framing that in a more universal kind of way.
Okay. I can make sense of the What word? I don't know what word to use. Like the abuse, I can make sense of it. I can understand it. I think that if that is how if that's what they saw growing up, that's all they know, and it's their way of meeting their own needs or like trying to be listened to. And so, but it's not loving. But if I was to have compassion for the abuse that does happen and make sense of it, it is just that it's that's all they know. And that's how they get their needs met.
Oh, wow. Wow. How beautiful. Right. That's what, of course, after I get over the emotion of pushing away that, then of course, that comes into play. Of course. Yeah,
sure.
This is a call for love, right?
Right. And I'm glad that you said that, because I think the other part I would love to add is, you know, it's harder to understand that unless you're able to understand yourself and have compassion for yourself first. And then you can kind of see and have compassion for others.
Wow. Yes. A billion times. That goes back to that work of self-knowledge and healing.
Yes.
Right? Yes. 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 A billion times to that. Gosh. I have to say this. I love how spiritual you sound. It's very spiritual.
Thank you.
Yeah, that perception of the world. That means you have been doing a lot of the inner work, the work on yourself, knowing yourself, right, as a human being. That's wonderful. Really wonderful to see.
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that.
Yeah, well, you very much sound this way. It's a resonance too. It's not just the words. Mm-hmm. It's energetically. It can be felt. Uh-huh. So thank you for being you, Kerr. Thank you. I guess it's that feeling of gratitude arises every time I'm in contact with humans that are getting to know themselves better in a profound way, because that opens up that view, exactly that compassionate view, you know, for themselves and the world. So it kind of lessens the judgment and unnecessary suffering, of course. So let's see. I'm going through my notes again. The attachment theory. I know that was, there's something else that you talk about, boundaries. You did so many things that you write here that, I mean, it just makes so much sense. Our feelings guides us, large and small. They tell us what we want, what our preferences are, and what we need. Yes. So feelings and emotions, they're so powerful. And that's what most of us try to run away from, which is not, is not helpful.
Yes.
Emotion is a literal compass that guides our actions. That's funny. Just going through, I was reading this last night and now just talking to you here, I can't help it but think about my husband. He's going through, I don't know what it is, but he exactly, I've been trying to talk to him, but he said he feels depressed. And I'm trying to understand why. Of course, I have some ideas because I'm very intuitive and I'm always paying attention. But I can't tell him. You know, he needs to find the answers himself, of course. I can't. It just doesn't work, right, for us to give people the answers that they are looking for. What about if it's not? Who knows? But I try not to do that. But he's been, I said, I need time to listen to my own feelings. I needed to be, you know, to see what I really want. It's almost as if he feels like, since 2020, this is 2024 now. Yeah. We moved from New York to Florida and he lost his business. And then, for me, it was quite the opposite, because I always wanted to do exactly this. I started in 2019, actually, with this podcast, and writing my books and all the, before that even. But I always wanted to have this kind of connection with other humans and do exactly what I'm doing. And then in that, I guess, it grew. Now I became this marketing agency. I have a team. It's a large team. And I have so many people that I talk to almost every day, you know, that. So I guess he's feeling a bit, let's say, well, he did mention that. He said, I wanted to be more of the man. I want to be more, you know, masculine. It, as if, like, the action, he's not he's not doing as much as he wanted to do, as he wants mm-hmm. to do. So how do you, going back to relationships, how do uh-huh. you how do you see that this dynamic between the feminine and the masculine, these energies, some people they call it divine feminine, divine masculine, or even this, you know, this dance between, you know, being a man and being a woman, what sure. that is like. So I would love to hear from you.
Yeah, you know, I can speak in general terms, yeah. but what I would, it's very individualized. And I think the more appropriate question to ask is, what does masculinity look like for him? Mm-hmm. And what does that mean for him to, you know, mm-hmm. be there? And what is getting in the way of him achieving that?
That's a great question. Yes, of course, I have an idea. I should not be answering for him, but I can't help it. Well, I would say it's for him. It's this, I think probably for a lot of men, they wanted to be in charge and they wanted to have a say, more of a, almost like a guide. They are always making decisions. They are, you know, making the for whatever it is. A lot of times I'm making the decisions, not for the house or for our dog. We don't have kids. So, mm-hmm. but when it comes to the business and what I do, of course, I make most of the decisions. So I guess he's not comfortable with that because he used to, when we met, he used to make all the decisions.
Oh, okay. So there's like a huge shift.
Yes, that's uh-huh. it. Yeah. And then he's not comfortable with that feeling of, and I talked to him about that, you know, that this is how life is a lot of times. You know, it swings, it goes from one side to another, and it's important to kind of be light with that, you know, in acceptance. Yeah. That will make the process easier of finding balance, finally.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think the huge shift is a big change in the dynamic, and I can see that that's a trigger for him. Yeah. So like, you know, some of the inner work could be like, what is the narrative that he tells himself? What are the emotions that come around that? And so I'm simplifying it, but this is kind of like a process here. But like the emotions that come up and where in the body do those emotions show up? Mm. So it's just making more of the inner process explicit. But one of the things I think that would be important here is just knowing what the narrative is that he tells himself.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Because that tells a lot about the belief system, right? That's mm-hmm. that's creating the behavior and the feelings, because he's, mm-hmm. yeah. if I look in his eyes, like the last 3 days, they're so dull. Oh. And I know I even cried because I couldn't, well, is that, well, my feeling, what comes to me is, because I know that you are what you're looking for already. You're just limitless, infinite. From my spiritual point of view, that's what it is. So, and I see that, and I know that to be true. Mm-hmm. I know. So it's really not easy for the human part of me, the mind-body complex, to kind of see a human being kind of so identified with the limited part of themselves. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what I see in his eyes. Like it's limiting itself. It's making itself small. Mm-hmm. Although it's huge and it's infinite. It's just, wow, we can't really describe it, of course.
Yeah. So is it that you see his potential, but he is in a place of like not seeing that, like he's limited?
Yes. Yes, yeah. And I said that with everyone, of course, when I see, mm-hmm. you know, anytime I'm in contact with people who are suffering, and that's what comes up for me. Oh, you're so beautiful. You're so perfect. Why? And then that's, but that's another conversation, of course. I don't want to make this a therapy session, but yeah. I couldn't help.
No worries.
Yeah, thank you for being open to that too, Kerr.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for what's happening right now. Because I usually uh-huh. bring into the conversation every time I have a podcast interview, whatever's happening in my life, I kind of yeah. bring into the conversation just to,
for sure.
To make it, it's not even to make it more real, because it is real in that sense.
Yeah.
It is what's happening.
Yeah, but you're just bringing up what's actually happening in the current time, like in your life right now.
Yes, right. In my own kind of dance with those feelings too, because it's not for the body mind, it's not easy to be faced with the limitations that it knows already. My mind, I train my mind to see life as a limitless, infinite, universal kind of consciousness. So it's this one stream of everything. It's just not, it's not limited. It's so obvious to me, but I know it's not for some of us. So, you know, that might be the reason why we suffer, right, Kerr? I know you mentioned earlier, you know, suffering and pain, that they are inevitable. But I don't know about suffering. I think pain, yes. But suffering, it's just the semantic thing. It might be the meaning we give to words. Mm-hmm. But the idea of that, to me, holding on to pain in the sense of believing them to be permanent, then that would cause suffering.
Okay. So it's interesting how you define it that way, which yes, I would agree with that. I just use those two words interchangeably.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I see a lot of people do. Yeah. I noticed that too. But for some reason for me, because I see pain as this transient kind of movement within body, mind, just energetic patterns.
Right.
So I don't see them as permanent. I don't see anything as permanent. The truth is nothing is permanent. So it's it becomes much lighter in that sense. So it doesn't stay. I think that's what it is too. I do relate suffering, especially unnecessary suffering, with holding on to pain, to the past, the painful memories and all that. Although, you know, physical pain, that might be an interesting challenge, right? I did experience pain, but not for too long, not chronic pain. I know some people have that. Do you have clients with chronic pain too, Kerr?
I have one client where she experienced a life-threatening medical condition, and she dealt with a lot of like aftermath medical conditions, but it has stabilized. But she experienced it for many years, like 4+ years now. But it is getting better. So I don't know if I would say chronic in a way where there's no hope that it's going to get better.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Right. So that might be an interesting challenge, I would say. I do have my reference is always spiritual teachers and spiritual mentors and monks. So I have seen some of them go through pain, like dying from cancer, and it's still in a playful way, like knowing that that was transient, it's just not permanent, and because they could see the eternal, they could see the infinite. So they're very much, in contact with that reality that's painless. So I think it's easier that way. But again, it's not something, sounds abstract, right, for some people to say that, especially people going through pain. They really won't appreciate that. You should just hold on to the painless side of you, state, you know, reality in you. Well, easier said than done. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it, practice to be in touch with that. So we're almost at the end. Gosh, I would love to continue to have this conversation with you for much longer. I wanted to mention, there's so many points there in that the article that you sent me. So many, so many. In the end, you say it's a call to action. You say, if you want to live a more fulfilling and loving life, you have to dig deep into your pain and own it in your body. We are human beings. We come with negative and positive emotions. Allow yourself to be human. Being human is being love. So that's the way you end that, which is the way we started actually the conversation with the end in a way.
Yeah.
How wonderful. Thank you so much again, Kerr, for being you, for doing what you do, and for this contribution, I would say, to inner peace. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And before we say goodbye for today, I do want to ask you this question. Is there anything that you left unsaid? Anything that, wanted to be here?
One thing that I would just add, and if you take anything away from this podcast, in just simple terms, if it feels bad to you, just get rid of it. Mm. And if it feels good, keep doing it.
Yes. yes, beautiful message and suggestion and guidance for all of us. I love that. So I want to mention the services that you offer. It's teletherapy on your website. Telehealth, yeah, I see here. Mm-hmm. And you currently only provide virtual sessions via Zoom. Is that updated, Kerr?
Yes, that's updated.
Okay, so you only see them via Zoom. That's good to know. I'll have the website on the podcast notes. And that's Kerr Yang, LMFT.com. So that'll be clickable on your podcast profile page. Thank you so much again for your presence, your healing, beautiful presence, and we'll talk again. Bye for now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Kerr Yang and her work, please visit kerryanglmft.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.